Okay, thank you. Welcome to Odyssey. This is a new show. We're going to be talking about metaphysical topics and ancient mysteries and unfiltered non-corporate news of the day. It's a one-hour show and we'll be on Thursdays at 7 p.m. every other Thursday. So let me tell you a bit about myself. My name is Mike Schultz. I'm a professional tarot card reader. I'm an intuitive and sensitive person, and I use my intuition to bring me toward metaphysical topics that I can learn about and share and bring with to the public. So I'm the producer of a DVD called The Sands of Time, and we'll be talking about that later in the program. And we'll be talking about tarot and some interesting news of the day. But right now we have an interesting guest on the line. I recently gave a lecture with James Gilliland at a UFO conference, and I met an interesting man by the name of Aaron, and he's going to talk with us about sacred geometry. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And you're down in Mount Shasta, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, I met you. You had a booth at the show, and you were selling different types of sacred geometry. Why don't you tell our audience why the symbols of sacred geometry are important and what they are?
Well, basically, sacred geometry is at the heart of literally everything. It's the basic architecture of the universe. So it's affecting us whether we realize it or not. So we might as well learn something about it, and that way we can use it more for our benefit.
So if you were to look at like an acorn or a flower, you know, on a microscopic level and the molecules, are you saying they would be in the patterns of sacred geometry?
Yes. It's kind of on a subliminal level, unless you, you know, analyze the mathematics and the geometry. And for people that are fascinated by math, they can really enjoy that. But that's not really necessary. You don't have to understand math to really use and benefit from sacred geometry.
And also, the shape of our DNA is also in these shapes.
Yes, the spiral of the DNA.
Okay, why don't you describe what these shapes look like? And by the way, you have a website. Do you have any pictures of the sacred geometry on your site?
I'm going to put up some links today. So if you go to our website, our work is called Heaven on Earth Project. And so our website is the initials for Heaven on Earth Project, HOEP.org.
Great, because people really need a visual. Now, one of the things that you wear is a pendant around your neck. I know it's either gold or bronze. And why don't you tell me about this pendant and how it can help people?
Okay. This was developed by a gentleman that's been working with sacred geometry for over 30 years. He's from Colorado. His name is Gregory Hoag. And he's been making three-dimensional sacred geometry forms, and I should probably speak about those a bit more before we get too much into the pendant.
But okay, sure.
Basically, he wanted to get something that incorporated as much sacred geometry as possible that you can wear on your body. And so he made this a very attractive pendant that's got a lot of things in it.
Right. So it's got two different sides, right? And you turn it each side for what you want to project or the energy you want to get?
Right. There's actually nine different sacred geometries in it, but one side has more of the earth geometry, so it connects you to the earth grid. So you're it's actually working as an antenna and connects you to a flow of energy. So when you want to feel more grounded, more connected to the earth, more calming, it's very good when you sleep. You can put it under your mattress if you don't want to wear it when you sleep and have the earth side facing you. The other side is the cosmic side, and that's going to connect you more to higher energies. Your intuition is great for creativity when you're out there in the business world and needing to work and come up with answers. That's the side you put next to you.
Okay, and then there's gemstones you put in the pendant. You have a choice of gemstones as well?
Yes, in the center of each side, there's a gemstone, and that holds it together the way it's constructed. So you have to have two gemstones, one on each side, and they use precious and semi-precious stones. So you can choose any color you want or any stone. That's more a matter of personal preference because the energies of the stone are not very significant compared to the energies of the sacred geometry itself. And then you can put a whole ring of stones around the perimeter of each side if you want to, or do every other one, depending on how complex you'd like to get with it.
Well, they're very beautiful patterns, and I find myself, I have some of your materials, I find myself just staring at the patterns and almost feeling calm and safe and serene. Do you have that experience from your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing what this does. I got started wearing one of these actually kind of by accident. One of our clients took us out for dinner, and they had just gotten an e-pendant, and they said, why don't you wear it during the meal and see how you feel? Well, we had a very nice dinner together, and we all forgot that I was wearing it. And the next day, they left town for a month, and so I thought, well, I guess the universe wants me to have this for a month. So I wore it, and things started shifting in my life just immediately. The next day, doors were opening, new ideas were coming through, and I wasn't doing anything different that I could put my finger on other than I was wearing this pendant. And it was happening day after day after day that first week. And I go, I think this is making a difference in my life. It's like things were manifesting faster for me.
It's amazing how the universe opens those doors.
Yeah, I think we express prayers, sometimes spoken, sometimes unspoken, that we're seeking, we're looking, we're asking for what we need. It's not always what we think we want, but we open ourselves to what we truly need, and it finds us. It comes our way, and sometimes we recognize it immediately, and other times it takes a little longer.
Right. Now, some of the benefits would include reducing stress and anxiety. Isn't that true? And increasing your vitality?
Yes. Yeah. Because you're getting more energy, this energy can be used either in a coherent manner, or incoherent, which means chaotic. So you need to be careful if you're experiencing negative emotions or anger. You may want to take the pendant off for a while because it could amplify that.
I see.
On the other hand, it'll bring up your stuff so you can got it in your face and you can work it through and move on to better things in life. So there's many different ways of working with the pendant, and they're all correct. There's not a right or
well,
a wrong way.
You must have some interesting anecdotes from some of your clients who have put them on and worn them. Do you want to share any of those?
Oh, let me think here.
Too many to consider.
Yeah. Just, you know, a greater feeling of peace and well-being. Other people have had kind of similar experiences to me of just feeling like life is flowing better. You know, I found that I get this thing draws a lot of attention because I'm not one to wear jewelry and that kind of thing. So oftentimes I'll just have this on, you know, underneath my shirt. But if I wear it out, visible, you know, I don't point it out to anybody. People point to it and they say, what is that? And I've had many of our clients are very energy sensitive. So they'll hold this in their hand and they can immediately tell me, oh, my gosh, it's amplifying my light body. And they can just feel what it's doing in their body.
So when you're out in public, it draws metaphysical people toward you, what you're saying.
Yeah, well, we live in a fairly strong metaphysical community, so we see a lot of people like that. But I was amazed that when people would hold it in their hand and sense what it was doing, it wasn't like they would hold it for a minute and close their eyes and try to think and feel and imagine. It was like immediate.
Wow.
Sometimes they'd just almost be in shock. And when we've done booths at shows and events, you know, these little things don't take up very much space on a table, and we've got books and other products and things, and people will be kind of walking by, and they'll stop, and they'll look at the pendants, and they'll come over and, you know, start asking questions. It's like that attracts their attention.
Absolutely. I didn't realize Mount Shasta was a metaphysical center. Is it similar to Sedona, Arizona? Is it an energy vortex? I know it's right by a volcano.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This is a sacred mountain here, and the energy, you know, can be very, very intense, but for those of us who live here, we all pretty much love it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to speak a little bit higher because we're all in long-distance phones.
Okay.
And let's move on to some other products that you work with. You have these large metal sculptures, and they're all in different shapes of sacred geometry, and they are metal, metallic, and bronze. Why don't you tell me a bit about those?
Yeah, they're called metaforms, and they start with the five basic Platonic solids. And for people that don't know what those are, it's just taking simple geometries, like a cube is one of the Platonic solids. A cube has six sides, six flat surfaces, and they're all squares. And you just fit them together and it makes a cube. That's the second most complex Platonic solid. The very simplest one is you take an equilateral triangle where all three sides are the same and just set it down on the table and take three more like it and line up all their edges. So you get something that's three-dimensional. It's going to come to a point at the top, and that's called a tetrahedron. It's a very, very simple thing if you see it.
Okay.
A more complex name. Now, if you take a second one, instead of facing up, but nest it inside and face it down, you get what's called a star tetrahedron.
Right.
It has two interlocking tetrahedrons. And that's a very powerful form.
Now, that's known, I know, from ancient Egypt as the Merkaba. Isn't that correct? Can you tell us about the Merkaba?
Yeah. Can I just finish mentioning the other forms first?
Absolutely.
Go back to that. The tetrahedron has four surfaces. The cube has six surfaces. An octahedron, octa means eight. It's got eight sides. And they're also made of equilateral triangles, just fit together, and it kind of resembles a ball, just with some sides shaved off. A dodecahedron is 12 sides, and the shape of each one of those sides is different. They're pentagons. They're five-sided, flat pieces.
Now, these are metallic structures that are about, what, 1 to 2 feet high that you put in your house?
Yeah, they vary. Some of the smaller ones are 6 to 9 inches, and they go up to maybe 15 to 18 inches. I didn't mention the largest of the Platonic solids is the icosahedron. That's got 20 sides, and it's also made up of equilateral triangles. But these geometries are designed for different uses, and people are still experimenting to find out how they can be used and what they do for them. For instance, they can be used for meditation and ascension practices. They can be used to enhance relationships with the universe and with other people. They can be used for healing and well-being. They can be used to balance and enhance your environment and plants. For personal growth and evolution, and for creation and manifestation. And that's where the star Metatron comes in for the creation and manifestation.
Okay, so one of these shapes is related to Metatron.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
The star Metatron is for manifestation and personal integration. It contains three octahedrons. Each one is twice the size of the one that's nested inside of it, and that creates three distinct energy flows in one form. So this works with emotions. It's a profound tool for enhancing self-esteem. It opens doorways into the very nature of existence and awakens your understanding of all that is.
I see. I noticed that's available in gold and bronze. We should give out your website again so people can see these wonderful shapes and find out more about it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The links you'll find are on hoep.org. That's short for Heaven on Earth Project, hoep.org.
Okay, now there's a way to hang these from your ceiling, right? So you can meditate underneath them?
There's a number of ways to do these. What's lovely is to sit underneath the different forms and you can feel the energy flow. I'm not the kind of person that is really strongly energy sensitive, so a lot of times people will hand me a crystal or something and say, "What do you feel?" And quite honestly, I don't notice anything. I just feel a stone in my hand.
Right.
But when I sat under these geometries, these three-dimensional metaforms, I would definitely feel energy flowing down over my head. And they're all different. They're all unique.
They're beautiful shapes. It's just wonderful. Even to put them in the corner of your house as a sculpture would be fantastic.
Yeah. So you can hang them from the ceiling. You can just, put them on a coffee table or anywhere. But you can also get spinners. You can get a spinner base, which will turn very slowly. And as these things rotate, energy that moves a lot faster, so there's a lot more effectiveness. You can also get a spinner that hangs from the ceiling, and you can turn it on and off with a remote control or put it on automatic where it will go one direction for 3 minutes, then it'll stop for 3 minutes, and then it'll turn again, and that keeps changing all day long. It's not just the same thing all the time.
I just want to give people a visual picture. If you remember when you were a child in a playground, they had these half domes that were geometric that kids climb on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like those,
that's
right?
That's true, yep.
But much more complex and elaborate. Now, there are two of these metal sculptures that you hold in your hand as a wand. So let's talk about those. The first is called the Heaven and Earth Dorji. Can you talk about that?
Yes. This one,
isn't that a feng shui tool, or?
It is, and it's to connect you to your innate knowledge. It works as a transducer to move energy. There's a round end, that's for receiving energy. And then on the other end is one of the star tetrahedrons. Remember, it's the two tetrahedrons nested together, and that's for the transmission of energy. And then inside, there's an 8-inch crystal in the handle that's wrapped with copper, silver, magnets, and gemstones. So it draws in new information and helps you to actualize what you're learning.
So for people who don't necessarily want to hang one of these sculptures in the ceiling, they can buy a wand and use the wand.
Yeah, you can use it for meditation. Most people just really, really enjoy the feel of just holding it in your hand. You can feel the power. It makes you feel powerful.
Right. Now, there's one called the Star of Deva, and it's a way to contact angels or be closer to angelic realms.
Star of Deva.
Yeah, that's the one.
Where it's actually a fourth dimensional Star of David.
Right.
So it connects you to the nature kingdoms, like the plant kingdom, the angelic, the devic kingdoms, the insects, the fairy kingdoms. This is a good one to use in greenhouses or wherever you're wanting to incorporate the hierarchies of nature.
Right.
So in your human body, it opens the heart, the throat, and the third eye chakra, and it promotes harmony and alignment.
That's wonderful. And once again, these are available in gold and bronze. Is there any difference between buying a gold one or a bronze one?
Well, the bronze, it's called silicon bronze, and it's actually 96% copper. And that's more inexpensive. You know, it's got the shape. The gold has a lot more energy to it. It's actually the bronze, which is the copper plating, plus another layer of nickel, and then another layer of gold on top of that. So it's multi-layers of metal. And so they are the most beautiful and the most powerful.
Okay, now I want to go back to the Merkaba. My understanding is that it's an ancient Egyptian teaching that we lost part of our DNA strands a long time ago. And this is a way, this Merkaba is used to be part of our DNA makeup, and we lost it. And this is a way we can get it back with this star tetrahedron sacred geometry. Is that correct?
Yeah. In fact, what's interesting about learning about sacred geometry and playing with it is that it enhances meditation. For people that like to meditate, it's usually a left brain activity. So you come out of it feeling very peaceful, and you've had wonderful experiences. That's the right brain thing. The left brain isn't normally involved because that's your analytical, rational, logical mind.
Right.
So oftentimes you can come out of meditation and the logical mind wasn't part of it, and it starts taking apart the experience and doubting it, and basically, you know, you're losing a lot of the effectiveness of it. When you're working with sacred geometry, whether you're drawing the forms or even just looking at them, you're using your thinking mind and giving it something to do. And it's a form of meditation for the left brain, which is really powerful, because then you can meditate with the whole brain, left and right sides, get them working together towards the same goal, helping to connect you to all that is.
I see.
And it magnifies your understanding.
So, you know, people can go on your website, and there's all different kinds of shapes and sculptures of the sacred geometry, and you're basically the guy who can help them pick out the right one, correct?
Yeah, yeah. There's a phone number that they can call for assistance, and, you know, we'll find out what a person wants to work with and find the form that they resonate to the most. Now, if you get three or more in the same building at once, they tend to start working together.
Really?
Yeah, and that becomes even more powerful because they're bouncing energy back and forth between them. So that's another really wonderful way to work with them. But even just any one of these things can really transform your space and you know, create more of a peaceful energy and
people
beautiful.
And you can send out a brochure with the pictures of all of these sacred geometry sculptures, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And once again, people need to go to hoep.org.
That's correct.
H-O-E-P as in Paul, .org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about one more, and then we'll jump to another subject. The casual vortex one is the ultimate connection to the higher self. Can you tell me a bit about that one?
Yeah. This is actually one of their very newest ones and probably the most powerful. It's got a five-sided base. You can get it with or without the base, but normally you can get it with the base, and there's a little tray in it, and it comes with the same two sides that you find on the E-pendant.
Right.
So you can carry this causal vortex with you and have it. If you're working in the kitchen, you can put it in the kitchen. If you're working at your desk, you can take it to your desk and put whichever side of the faces of the pendant that's appropriate. Like if you're just working in the kitchen, you'll put the earth side because you'll want it to be grounding. If you're going to your desk to focus on work, then you'll put the cosmic side in the tray, and you can put it next to your bed when you sleep. So it increases the energy interface with the physical dimension, and it energizes and raises the vibration of food, water, crystals, or medicine, whatever is around it or under it.
Can you put things in that little tray inside of the sacred geometry?
Yeah, other things in that tray. I've done that. We were helping co-create an event once, and I took the brochure for the event and just folded it up and put it on the little tray because it's basically working to amplify your intent.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. That's the one I want to buy.
Yeah. So it just helps you ask better questions, and when you clearly ask your questions, it will seem like the answers are coming back from the environment. So when you wear the E-pendant, the answers seem to come from within. When you're using the causal vortex, the answers feel like they're coming from outside of you, which in some cases makes it a little clearer.
Now, when you put your pendant in the tray inside of the casual vortex, which kind of looks like a triangular prism, does it energize the E-pendant?
Yeah, they suggest that at least once every 6 or 12 months, you re-energize your E-pendant by putting it in the causal vortex. And if you don't have a causal vortex, you can just send your pendant back into the manufacturer, and they'll recharge it for you.
Okay, and I know this sounds a little complex to the audience. It's hard because there's no visuals. We're on the radio. But basically, what you're offering are many different types of geometric sculptures that are gold-plated or bronze or a pendant in the shape of sacred geometry. And these beautiful shapes enhance people's lives and change their awareness and open them up spiritually, correct?
That's the whole idea, and it's just really fun to work with.
Right. Okay, let's move on and talk about a few other important topics. You know, I've been in the metaphysical field for years, you know, perhaps 15 years, and I go to health fairs and things, and something that comes up a lot is wheatgrass juice. And I don't particularly like the taste of the juice. It's very strong, but a lot of people in the metaphysical world talk strongly and recommend it strongly. So why don't you tell me about your product?
Yeah, well, we really need to thank Ann Wigmore for being the pioneer with wheatgrass juice. And she discovered that by juicing wheatgrass, that's young wheatgrass, that you get lots of chlorophyll, lots of minerals, it purifies your blood. People have, I hate to use the cure word, but people have gotten over many, many different kinds of life-threatening illnesses just going on a temporary diet of wheatgrass. Now, you don't have to just only have wheatgrass. You can just do a little bit of it in addition to everything else that you eat. But it is somewhat of an appetite suppressant, so if people want to lose weight, they can drink wheatgrass juice. I find, like you, if I go to a juice bar and drink the fresh wheatgrass juice, I don't really like the flavor. It's okay, but this wheatgrass is generally grown in plastic trays. It's very young, a week or so old, and it's not connected to the earth. You know, it's grown in a tray, and it hasn't fully developed the complex carbohydrates and the amino acids and all the nutrients. The wheatgrass powder that we get is from a company called Synergy Production Labs, and they made the first superfood formula where they took about 60 different superfoods from all over the earth and put them all together in a way that amplifies their effectiveness. And this is still the best superfood out there because their standard of quality is they look for the best quality ingredients. If they can't produce it themselves, they work with their suppliers to get the very, very best that's affordable.
Now, let me ask you, we all need a certain amount of vitamins and minerals each day. Does this cover the mineral content that you need each day, the trace minerals?
If it's grown right, it does. Grasses, all types of grasses, wheat, barley, any kind of grass, has the unique ability to hold every single trace mineral known to man. Now, Other plants are not like that. Like the most minerals a tomato can pick up is 56, and you get greenhouse tomatoes that, you know, might only have half of that in them. But grasses, if the minerals are available when they're grown, they can carry all the trace minerals. So the wheatgrass powder we get, I tell people it's better than fresh. It's an instant powder. You just mix it with water, or you can even just put it right on your tongue while you drive or what are you doing? But it's grown in deep soil that's fertilized with sea vegetation. So that sea vegetation's got all the ocean minerals in it, and it's fully matured. It's harvested at the perfect time to be most bioavailable to your body. And then they process it right at the edge of the field so they don't lose a lot of nutrients. So it's cooled down with CO2 gas, and then there's no oxygen that touches it from there. It's dried at low temperature and kept under vacuum relative to us. So I really feel this is better than anything I can grow myself. And the company we get it from, they caution us that when you grow sprouts and grasses and things at home, it's very, very easy for them to get contaminated. If the seeds aren't contaminated, the air in your house, you can get mold and fungus and things on them. And so stuff that's grown under highly controlled conditions, you know, is much more pure to put in your body.
Right. I've been using this concentrated wheatgrass powder. What I do each morning is I just put a teaspoon in my juice, basically, like if I have a V8 juice, mm-hmm. and I put it right in there, and I don't even taste it at all.
Yeah, it's very mild tasting. People are usually surprised compared to the fresh wheatgrass juice because it tastes so mild, but it's you know, even more powerful for your body, and so you can take lots of it if you want.
Yeah, I think part of being on a metaphysical journey is just taking these concentrated superfoods. It's really a natural evolution. We can't be, you know, working with this spiritual information and be eating at Jack in the Box. It doesn't work.
Yeah, we're always looking for what's going to take us to the next level. If you get off the standard American diet, anything's an improvement, even fasting for
right.
a while. But then, you know, you can go to eating vegetarian diet and all organic food and then be a pure vegan and go to raw and living foods. And, you know, each step is wonderful, but we're always looking for what's the very highest vibrational, highest life force foods that we can treat our body with.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to touch on one more topic, and then I'm going to let you go and continue the odyssey alone for the
okay.
rest of the show. The last topic is I want to talk about coconut oil because tropical oils got a bad rap 10, 15 years ago. Everyone stopped using them. But now people are really taking another good look at coconut oil. Tell us about it.
Yeah. If you read labels now, you'll find more and more products starting to integrate coconut oil again. It was, you know, considered kind of politically incorrect for a while because they broadcast a half-truth. They said coconut oil raises your cholesterol. That's true. But they didn't tell you it raises your good cholesterol and lowers the bad cholesterol. So it really is good for you.
Well, one thing I was just thinking about, just using basic common logic, you look at Hawaiians and Polynesians. They eat coconuts all day long. Their skin and hair is beautiful.
Absolutely.
And they're not heavy. They're not fat people,
yeah,
generally.
Coconut oil is a medium chain fat. There's not too many like that. But what that means is your body burns it for fuel. It does not store it for weight. It just burns it for energy. And being a saturated fat is also especially good. If you do cook, this is the best oil to cook with because it's not going to go rancid. It's not going to change chemically and get scrambled by being heated unless you, you know, scorch it, overheat it. But it's been found to help control diabetes, reduce the risk of heart disease and cancer, support the healthy metabolic function, give you immediate energy, improve your digestion. In fact, Dr. Bruce Fife, F-I-F-E, he's probably the world expert on coconut oil, and I really respect him and his wife. They travel the world talking about coconut oil, and they don't even sell coconut oil, but he's written the best books on it, The Coconut Oil Miracle and his newer one, Coconut Cures. And I said, how can you write a book and put the word cure in a title? How do you get by with that?
Right.
And he said, because he's traveled the world, he's documented all these different cultures that have used coconut for curing various diseases for ages. And, you know, the proof is there. He can back this all up.
So if people want to get a CD with information on coconut oil or a book or the actual product, where do they go?
They can call us or go to our website. And we bring in a coconut oil that's made with a centrifuge. They just spin the water off of it. It's not fermented. Most of the stuff from the Philippines and other places is fermented. And pretty much all coconut oils are good for you. Some of them are made extracted with chemicals, and they taste pretty lousy. The stuff we get from Indonesia is really that people tell us is the best tasting. They've tried them all, and they love this one.
It tastes wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest. I'm going to point everyone to your website. It's www.hoep.org, and they can look into the sacred geometry, the pendants, the sculptures, the wheatgrass juice, and the coconut oil. You are a wonderful resource. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, I really honor you, Mike, for your heart to give people what they need and provide information and be of service. So bless you and all that you do.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to continue on alone. I'll have you sign off now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was a wonderful guest, and I hope you all visit his site. I'll tell you a little bit more about myself since this is the first show. My name is Mike Schultz. I'm a professional tarot card reader, and I am available nationwide to do readings. What I've been doing the past few months, actually, is I produced a DVD in April. My intuition, my spirit guides told me to take all the research that I've done on ancient mysteries around the world, all the information about the pyramids and all of the advanced societies that we used to have on this planet thousands of years ago, and put the knowledge into a DVD. And as far as the topic, it's titled The Ancient Astronaut Theory, and get it out there. And you can see it if you go to arcticbeacon.com, A-R-C-T-I-C-B-E-A-C-O-N, arcticbeacon.com. And on the front page, you'll see a pyramid with the Sands of Time. That's the title of my DVD, The Sands of Time. So let me tell you a little bit more about it. I start my research back in the year 3000 BC, and generally almost all cultures around the world were very primitive. They were hunter-gatherer tribes. They had very simple, crude tools, and if any buildings at all, they were very, very simple. However, there's six exceptions to this rule. There's six advanced cities that were built all around the world that were very sophisticated and had a very detailed knowledge of astronomy and the sciences. They had advanced agricultural systems. They had advanced art, music, and educational systems. And all six societies featured the building and construction of pyramids, which were created with very advanced construction knowledge, including ball and socket joints. And they're so advanced that they are still standing today, many of them. And these six societies can be found in Egypt and India, in Mexico, in South America, in China, and Persia. So what I've done with my I've taped this lecture, and I have about perhaps 80 or 90 slides from around the world that are on the DVD, so you can go to these far-off places and see great photography of these ancient sites and dig into were these actually created by human beings on their own, even though society was very primitive then, or did they have help? Was there indeed an advanced race of gods who came down to this planet and started us off, actually, and gave us advanced knowledge as far as astronomy and the sciences and agriculture and taxation and all of these incredible achievements? So once again, people can go to arcticbeacon.com, like Arctic as in North Pole, arcticbeacon.com. It's a great website. There's all kinds of non-corporate news on that site. And you'll see my DVD on the front page. It's a pyramid, and it's called The Sands of Time. Just click that on. It's available through PayPal for only $16. And it's a wonderful 90-minute DVD. As I mentioned, basically, you know, a few years ago, I was mostly reading tarot for people and just helping people on a one-to-one basis. And I was an armchair researcher of the Ancient Astronaut Theory, and many of you who have read the book Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Däniken are very familiar with this theory, or perhaps you've seen the documentary Chariots of the Gods, or perhaps you've read the books of Zachariah Sitchin, such as The Twelfth Planet. So many of you in this audience are familiar with this material. And I started reading it and getting into it deeper and deeper, but I was strictly an armchair researcher. But, you know, I would do daily tarot readings on myself or for myself, and I kept getting strong messages that I wasn't supposed to just hold this knowledge in my head and keep it to myself. Even though I wasn't a complete expert on these topics, I was supposed to take what I know and put it out there, put it together in a DVD with slides, as many pictures and photographs as I could get from all of these ancient sites, and bring people the Ancient Astronaut Theory, because we want to know how we got to this planet and what we're doing here and our true history as people. So anyway, we talk about, I start my research around the year 3000 BC, and because that's where we have the oldest documents. We have what are known as the Sumerian clay tablets, and there are thousands of these tablets. And they give a pretty detailed account of how human beings began on this planet and our interactions with these gods or advanced races of ETs that came to this planet many thousands of years ago. But for whatever reason, around the year 2000 BC, they started to withdraw from the planet, and they became very shy. let's put it that way. And then there was a little bit later in Mexico, around the time of Christ to 500 AD, the gods kind of made another strong appearance. There are many, many pyramids throughout Mexico. And then around 500 AD, they really withdrew to the background from that point on. So if you take a look at the belief systems of the earliest cultures, the Romans, the Egyptians, and the Greeks, they all believed in polytheism, or many gods, and they believed that humans interacted directly with all of these demigods, and their gods had human qualities such as joy and rage and anger and happiness, just like human beings. And they had advanced capabilities. These demigods were superior to humans, although they interacted with human beings directly, or sometimes through an intermediary such as a pharaoh or a priest. But these gods they detail them extensively in their art and their architecture, and there's all kinds of stone sculptures you can see if you go to Egypt and Greece. And either these people were delving completely in fantasy and delusion, or they were documenting their lives and their interactions with these other type of creatures, these demigods. As you know, if you study Greek mythology, they had a god of the sea, a god of the moon, a god of the dead, a god of love, a god of the sun, a god of the underworld, etc., etc. It's very extensive, their belief system. So most traditional scholars have written these belief systems off as purely fiction. But these cultures documented their interactions with the gods in such great detail, and their beliefs are simply too pervasive to be written off merely as fiction. They must be explored as possible actual history. So once again, on my DVD, I really go through all of these belief systems of the ancient cultures, the Romans, the Egyptians, and the Greeks. And once again, you can purchase the DVD if you go to Arctic Beacon, Arctic as in North Pole, A-R-C-T-I-C, Beacon, B-E-A-C-O-N. It's a wonderful news site, arcticbeacon.com. On the front page, you'll see a pyramid with the Sands of Time. That's the title of my DVD. And you can purchase this 90-minute lecture with the slideshow. It's fantastic. And I've been lecturing all up and down the West Coast, actually. I'll be in Los Angeles next week at the Living Temple, which is a wonderful raw foods, health food store. And if you're down in Orange County, if you can make it, go to the Living Temple. Just go to Yahoo or Google and type that in. And I'll be lecturing there. And I'll be at the Granada Forum. And I really want to give the Granada Forum a plug. It's a grassroots forum where people with alternative views can speak. And I wish every city in America had them. But please, I'll be there next Thursday if you can make it in Los Angeles. Just once again, type in granadaforum.com and you'll see my bio. And they've had David Icke speak there. They've had Ted Gunderson speak there. Just all sorts, Jim Mars, all sorts of top-notch speakers in the world of metaphysics. So they're a wonderful resource, granadaforum.com. And so anyway, to talk a bit more about the DVD, The Sands of Time, we also get into secret societies. And specifically, we talk about the Freemasons, who have had a lot of this hidden knowledge of our true human heritage. And they've chosen to keep this information from the public. It's a very secretive organization. But, you know, as researchers, we have access to a lot of the Masonic documents. When a lot of Masons die or pass on, they leave these documents behind, and researchers have been able to get these documents and share this information with the public. So more and more of this information is coming out. And basically, personally, I have a Christian background, and you can still believe in this ancient astronaut theory that there was an advanced race of ETs on this planet and still be a Christian believing in the divine teachings of Christ. However, your view of the Old Testament and the Book of Revelations may shift after learning this information that's on these Sumerian clay tablets. Once again, there was an incredible archaeological find in the 1800s in Iraq, in ancient Sumeria. They found thousands and thousands of Sumerian clay tablets, and if you want to read more about them, I would recommend the books of Zachariah Sitchin. So the slideshow takes us all over the world. I'll tell you a little bit, you know, on each show I'll give you a little bit more information. But one of the areas I take you to is Antarctica. And we've found maps dating back to 1513 from a Turkish admiral, and his name is Piri Reis. And he has detailed topography and maps of Antarctica that are printed on deerskin. And they have accurate depictions of valleys and islands and rivers, etc. But here's the bombshell. He possessed these maps in 1513, but Antarctica was not discovered until 300 years later, in 1818. Furthermore, ice sheets covered the continent since 4000 BC. So therefore, the maps must have been drawn before then, and somehow they were handed down to this Turkish admiral, Piri Reis. Now, the U.S. Army investigated this map, you know, that was in his hands 300 years before Antarctica was discovered, and they admitted they had no idea how these maps were drawn. They speculated they must have used aerial technology to show this detailed topography of the islands and the rivers and the stream. So according to the ancient astronaut theory, of course, there were spacecraft back then, and they were able to, way before the ice sheets covered the land of Antarctica, they were able to detail it in their maps. So that's one of the interesting tidbits that's in my lecture. And I'll give you one more time the website, and then we'll end with the news of the day. There's a pretty fascinating article I want to get to. So to buy my DVD, it's $16. It's at arcticbeacon.com. And on the front page, it's called The Sands of Time. Look for the pyramid. And I want to tell you, I always try to feature a news article in my program. And one of the best sites I go to get raw, unfiltered, non-corporate news is rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. And Jeff Rense was an investigative reporter. He was working for the networks, but he was trying to expose a lot of information that the corporate media did not want to come out. So he has become an independent. He has a wonderful website, rense.com, R-E-N-S-E, and there's great news stories every day. So the bombshell article I want to read to you today from Rense is about chemtrails. And there was a family in Iowa that had, they were living out in the farm, and their sky was filled with chemtrails and airplanes crisscrossing the sky, leaving behind these huge plumes of fog or smoke that turn into these gray clouds that cover the sky. And if you look up chemtrails on a search engine, you can see pictures of them. Now, a normal contrail disappears within about 30 seconds when an airplane crosses the sky, but a chemtrail stays all day long, and it spreads out, and it actually covers the sky in murky gray clouds. And where I live in Portland, I'm looking out my window right now, and there's chemtrails all throughout the sky. We're hit pretty heavily in Portland, Oregon. So anyway, they called their senator, and they tried to research what's in these, and we have a lab report of what they found in the chemtrail. It's very shocking, and I want to give this information to you. They found six kinds of bacteria, including anthrax and pneumonia. They found nine chemicals, including acetylchlorine chloride. They found 26 heavy metals, including arsenic, gold, lead, and mercury, and silver, and uranium, and zinc. They found all of this inside the residue from the chemtrails. They found four kinds of mold and fungi. They found seven different kinds of viruses. They found two types of cancers. They found two types of vaccines and two sedatives. And a lot of the research I've done on chemtrails indicates these heavy metals, this aluminum and barium being sprayed on us, actually. And chemtrails are very random, by the way. You may go a week or two or three without seeing any of them. You'll just have blue skies and the normal puffy clouds, you know, those cotton candy clouds. And then one day in the corner of the sky, you may see these airplanes crisscrossing back and forth. And they often spray in a grid-like pattern. They'll go horizontal, up and down, across a city, and then they'll do vertically. And there was one congressman who tried to tackle the issue years ago. His name is Dennis Kucinich, and he actually put forth a bill to try to stop chemtrails. And the language chemtrail was actually in the bill, but they made him take out that word. And the legislation never really went anywhere. So this is real. This is not some conspiracy madness. And so I encourage people to really, if you go to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com, you'll see this article, and he has a section where you can dig into chemtrails and find out as much as you can about them. But like I said, this phenomena of chemtrails started to occur around 1997. That's when people really started reporting them all over the world, by the way, not just in the United States. And so that was, you know, about 9 years ago, and we've had this random spraying, and there's all kinds of theories as to why we're being sprayed with chemtrails. I mean, some people say it's to protect us from global warming, that the scientists have not revealed how bad global warming is, and they're trying to create a barrier above the earth, but they just can't tell the public because people would get too agitated. That's one theory. Another theory has to do with depopulation and just making the public sick and, you know, increased levels of Alzheimer's disease and autism and things like that. So we're all just researching it and trying to find out our, you know, in our best way possible, what's going on with the chemtrail phenomena. So I encourage people to go online and find out as much as they can. There is a good video called Chemtrails the Video that you can look up, and you might want to buy that or rent that. So anyway, we're winding down our show today, and this is the basic format. I'm going to be covering metaphysical topics, and once again, I really go into my intuition. I'm a tarot card reader, and I'm a very sensitive person. So when I go to a New Age fair or a New Age meeting, I'm always looking for that right information that I need to bring to the public. And that's how I can best serve you and best serve the public, is just using my intuition. And once again, my DVD was released in April, The Sands of Time. And you can find it at arcticbeacon.com. ArcticBeacon, arcticbeacon.com. It's on the front page. It's called The Sands of Time. There's a complete biography of theirs, so you can find out a little bit more about me. I grew up in a very traditional Christian background. I was even an altar boy, and I sang in the choir. So the first 20 years of my life were very, very traditional. And since that time, I've been on a deep metaphysical journey, and I'm trying to reconcile the two. I'm trying to reconcile what I learned from the Bible and what I've learned on my metaphysical journey and bring the two together. So anyway, my bio is on that site, and a complete description of the DVD is there as well. And I'm linked up to PayPal for those of you who want to purchase it. So I'm on every other Thursday at 7 p.m., and I hope you tell everybody about my show. Like I said, it's metaphysical topics, and then I talk about the news of the day, and I have an interesting guest. And each show I'll try to tell you a little bit more about my DVD. I'll give you a little more information about that. So we're winding down, and it's great to be part of this wonderful network. And once again, you know, like I said, I really don't watch corporate news. I haven't watched a nightly news show on NBC, ABC, or CBS in years. I can't really remember even watching those shows anymore. I'm all about every morning I go to the internet, and I go to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. Or another great site is Infowars.com. And that's how I get my news of the day. And it's raw, unfiltered, non-corporate news. And it's really helped educate me about these many important issues, one of which is chemtrails. So once again, this family in Iowa, they had the residue of the chemtrail analyzed. And I'll just read this again. It's so surprising. They found 6 types of bacteria, including anthrax and pneumonia. They found 9 chemicals, including acetylchlorine chloride. They found 26 heavy metals, including arsenic, gold, lead, mercury, silver, uranium, and zinc. They found 4 types of mold and fungi. They found 7 viruses. Once again, this is all residue within the chemtrails. They found 2 types of cancers, 2 vaccines, and 2 sedatives. So a very surprising article. It was actually printed in the Idaho Observer. So you might want to look it up there too. So, and the article is at rents.com. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wind down. Once again, our wonderful guest, if you want to find out anything more about sacred geometry, and he sells these incredible pendants. You put them on your neck, and there's such beautiful figures of pentagrams and hexagons and inverted triangles into these wonderful sacred geometry shapes. And the pendant you use, it's two-sided. You put on one side for creative energy and one side to ground you to the earth. So he says he's going to put up some pictures so you can see these a bit more. And he's at hoep.org. And he's in Mount Shasta at the base of that volcano. And he was telling me it's a wonderful metaphysical community, similar to Sedona, Arizona. So I know I'm going to definitely visit that area and find out more about that energy vortex at Mount Shasta. And once again, besides the pendant, he sells these, they're bronze and gold-plated geometric shapes. They're about 2 feet high, and there are these wonderful models, and you hang them from the ceiling, or you put them around your workspace or the computer, and there's all kinds of beautiful energy that they send out. So we're at the end of the show. Once again, my name is Mike Schultz, and I'm a tarot card reader. That's my background. I read a lot at New Age fairs, and I read for people in Portland, Oregon, face-to-face, and I read nationwide around the country for people in phone readings. And so I help people clarify their values and find out where they're going on their life's journey. The tarot really helps people when they're at a crossroads, when they need to make a major decision. So it's really great to hook up with a sensitive tarot reader who won't really tell you what to do, give you strong advice, but will give you signs and ideas and point you in the right direction so that you can make the most of your life. And that's mostly what I do with people. So, like I said, that's my background, and my main project this year has been the DVD, The Sands of Time. So I'm going to wrap this up, and thank you all for joining me. I will see you on Odyssey. It's every other Thursday at 7 p.m. And so please join me at bbsradio.com. And thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.